Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. The foolish say, there is no God. We are alone on our own. We gather to declare the glory of God in our lives. The foolish say, it is your life. You are accountable to no one. We gather, strengthened by the Spirit, trusting that Christ dwells in our hearts. The foolish say, everything I have is mine. I owe nothing to anyone. We gather to praise the one who calls us to serve others in love. Affirmation of faith. We share one faith, have one calling, are of one soul and one mind, have one God and Father, We are filled with one Spirit, are baptized with one baptism, eat of one bread and drink of one cup, confess one name, are obedient to one Lord, work for one cause, and share one hope. Together, we come to know the height and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ, are built up to the stature of Christ, to the new humanity, know and bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ, that we need one another and upbuild one another, admonishing and comforting one another, that we suffer with one another for the sake of righteousness. Together we pray. Together we serve God in this world. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is the 14th Psalm. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you, heavenly walls. Praise Father, Son, and on.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the third chapter of Ephesians, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In any language, it is the most powerful expression of the most powerful emotion and experience in the world. It is what everyone is looking for. It is something everyone is starving for. It is something many people have not yet experienced in this often dark and cruel world. It is why Jesus came and died. It is why there is a Christian church and why Christianity has been spreading for the past 2,000 years. It, of course, is love. An old song says, "You're nobody till somebody loves you." And if that is true, then everybody is somebody because God loves us all. But as I said, not everyone knows about the love of God. As you know, I work in the school system, and often I'm in a position to experience some of the negative things that our students are going through. I work with a staff member who is also in ministry, and she speaks to many teenagers who all have talent and potential in the world, but keeps doing things to harm themselves due to self-loathing. As its spring semester came to a close, a student tried to commit suicide. My colleague told me that she went to her home to have a heart-to-heart talk with her for a few days later. She's a young person who has never experienced unconditional love. She's been abused and used all her life, yet she lives in a home that professes Christ. During their conversation, my colleague stood up and went across the room where a cross was hanging. She took that cross off the wall and brought it over to the teenager. "Look at this," she said to her. "This is how much you're loved. This is how deeply you are loved. This is how important your life is." I think we all need to take a good look at the cross every day and tell ourselves this very same thing. This proves your self-worth. This is how much God loves you and everyone else. Now go about your day believing it and ask God to help you in your unbelief. The love of God is what changes us. The love of God is what gives us a hope and a future. The love of God is what gives us self-worth. The love of God is what allows us to love others. Carl Menninger once said, "Love cures people, both the ones who give it and the ones who receive it." Jesus opened our eyes to the true nature of love in Matthew chapter 22, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." A commentator on television was saying that guilt from our past causes us to want to punish ourselves through drug and alcohol abuse and other dangerous and self-destructive activities. And we aren't even aware that this is why we're doing these things. I want you to ingest and to rejoice over Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14 with me. The word says, "And when you were dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive with Him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross." Forgive yourself, you can, because Christ has forgiven you. Of course, that's easier said than done, but knowing that you are forgiven and loved is the greatest starting place in the world. It's also the greatest place to stay. I think all of us should pin or tape this to our bathroom mirror so we can read it and be reminded about it every morning, every day, and every time we look in the mirror. Smile, rejoice, move on, and live. Christ has forgiven you. Several years ago, in a large city in the far west, rumors spread that a certain Catholic woman was having visions of Jesus. The reports reached the archbishop, and he decided to check her out. "Is it true, ma'am, that you have visions of Jesus?" asked the archbishop. "Yes," the woman replied simply. "Well, the next time you have a vision, I want you to ask Jesus to tell you the sins I confessed in my last confession." The woman was stunned. "Did I hear you right, Bishop? You actually want me to ask Jesus to tell you the sins of your past?" "Exactly. Please call me if anything happens." So 10 days later, the woman notified her spiritual leader of a recent apparition. "Please come," she said. And within the hour, the archbishop arrived. "You just told me on the phone that you have actually had a vision of Jesus. Did you do what I asked?" "Yes, Bishop, I asked Jesus to tell me the sins you confessed in your last confession." The bishop leaned forward with anticipation, his eyes narrowed. "What did Jesus say?" And she took his hand, and she gazed him deep into his eyes. "Bishop," she said, "these are his exact words. I can't remember." Unhealthy guilt holds us in bondage. God's grace sets us free to be who we are created to be. When we embrace God's forgiveness, the focus of our lives shifts from our badness to God's goodness, and the question becomes not, what have I done, but what can God do through me? In Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul instructs, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith and overflowing with thankfulness. See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." It's been said that being a Christian is like riding a bicycle. Unless you go forward, you'll fall off. And going forward as a Christian means nothing more or less than going forward in Christ. Our lives are to be rooted in Christ like a tree in good soil. We need to be built up in Him like a solid house going up brick by brick on a firm foundation. At every stage of our Christian journey, what we need is more and more of Christ and what Christ is all about. If someone or something whispers in our ear that we're not good enough or we need something more, stand firm and say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you." Otherwise, we're in danger of being captive, being drawn into something that is not of God. And if that happens, we can be dragged down to the level that we were on before we met Christ and accepted the fact that we are accepted. That's what Paul was warning the Christians in the Colossian church about. Jewish Christian zealots were telling the new Gentile converts that in becoming Christians, they had only gotten half of what they needed, and that what they needed now was to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. And Paul is saying, don't get drawn into it. It will be a form of captivity for you. As a matter of fact, the word Paul uses for takes you captive is very close to the word of synagogue. So Paul is warning the Colossians against being lured into the synagogue. Why? Because if you've already got Jesus as your Lord, you don't need to be completed by any other system, and you certainly don't need to be circumcised. In circumcision, you are putting off a small piece of physical flesh, but in baptism, you are putting off an entire way of life, an entire sphere of existence. For when you enter the Christian community, you are dying to the old world and coming alive to God's new one. How can people who have already done that ever suppose that they need to go back and do something extra, something trivial by comparison? Few of us are likely to face the pressure to convert to Judaism, but what are the religious and philosophical attractions or deceptions in our world that are most likely to try and draw us away from the fulfillment which is found in Christ alone? Who or what is telling you that you're not good enough? Who or what is telling you that you need something more than Christ? If someone tries to entice you into anything other than the single-minded devotion to Jesus, you need to take notice. All you need is Christ the King. Hold fast to Him, and we'll never need anything else. We will have all that we need. How about a big sigh of relief, friends? Looking back at Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks to us about it. And the ultimate it is the unconditional or agape love of God. Paul talks about the power of this love. English theologian N.T. Wright translates this passage. My prayer is this, that He will lay out all the riches of His glory to give you strength and power through His Spirit in your inner being. That Jesus may make His home in your hearts through faith, that love may be your root, your firm foundation, and that you may be strong enough with all God's holy ones to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth and to know Jesus' love. Though actually, it's so deep that nobody can really know it. So may God fill you with all His fullness. Paul goes on to say that God is capable of doing far, far more than we can ask or even imagine. Just try and wrap your minds around what God might do in us and through us as a community of believers, and in you and I as individuals. Now reflect on that fact that God is perfectly capable of doubling that, tripling that, going far beyond anything we can imagine or even dream of. And the more we come to know the power and grasp how wide, how long, high, and deep the love of Christ is, well, the better that it gets. Let's pray. Father of mercy, grace, and love, we thank You this morning for Jesus, the one that defeated death and hell, because He loves us so much and You love us so much that You would send Your Son to die so that we could be with You in glory. Father, we thank You for Your understanding and for Your love, for Your patience with us, Father, as we go through this world seeking something that we might not know. I pray, Father, that we can share our love of it, Your eternal, undenying, unwavering love, could share that with others. And that others may understand that through the acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ, that they too may have it. That love that also extends as an invitation to be with You in glory for eternity. We pray, Father, that we would be changed, that others might see Christ in us as we go about our days, that they might hear the message of love, the message of Christ from us. We pray, Father, that You would continue to bless our church and our community and our country, Father, as we go forth making a difference in the lives of those that surround us. We pray all these things in the holy, magnificent, and glorious name of Jesus, as He taught each of us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.